Okay. I understand about four. Is it four? Four of them going back after lunch? Three only, okay, three. So there is a suggestion, a very good suggestion for Sister Alicia. Why not we get them to introduce themselves, then share whatever they want to share with us. You can share on how you experienced these few days of retreat, whether it has benefited you, and also how you find the environment, the setting, and also the Kayanamita and the facility that you are able to have. Then you can also express your gratitude, your thanks, or whatever to the temple committee, to the organizers, and to whoever. Then you can share what you experience while you are here. That is also very useful. Then if you got any good feedback, let us know too. Okay, who are the three? I know Tammy, Kok Lun, and Yun Chan. Wow. So Yun Chan, you want to be first or last? You want to share first or last? Kok Lun first. Okay, Kok Lun first. Pass the mic to Kok Lun. Okay. Yeah, you just introduce yourself, Kok Lun.
Hi, brothers and sisters. My name is Kok Lun, and I'm from KL. So firstly, I would like to say thank you to Brother Teo for his selfless time for teaching us and guiding us with the Dhamma. So I would like to say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Secondly, I would like to say thank you to all the brothers and sisters who has worked tirelessly to organize this retreat. Those who are involved, I think all of them are involved. And also those who are helping out and cleaning up and tidying up. Thirdly, I would like to say thank you to this the temple and the people who maintain
kitchen the kitchen area and the whole temple committee for giving us such good environment to develop our meditation and to have our retreat and all those things. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Continue.
So, and I particularly enjoy the soup here. It's really good.
Oh. Yeah, that soup is very nice. Yeah, sadhu. How do you find the environment conducive for you?
The environment here is very serene.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Very peaceful.
Oh, very good. Sadhu.
Yeah. So, my first experience was actually on the first day.
Oh, sadhu. Very good. So you share with us, yes.
My first day was when Yun Chan brought me to the main hall.
Oh.
She was explaining to me in the main hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And she showed me the Bodhisattva of knowledge.
Yes, 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 yes.
And also on the other left, there's Bodhisattva of virtue.
Yeah, universal virtue.
Yes. Samantara. So as we were paying our respect, and then as I was walking to the Bodhisattva of virtue, I could feel this tingling sensation.
Oh, sadhu.
From
very
the whole
good.
Shoulder to
yeah,
the
yeah,
neck,
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
yeah,
ear,
yeah, yeah.
Up to the head.
Means you have affinity with that great being.
So to the point it was so overwhelming, I was there like for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, you were stand there.
Yeah.
Where you were expressed that what they call Kan Ying in Mandarin. Kan Ying. Yeah. The affinity that you have with this great being, their nature, you will experience it. Where their nature work like nature's law. Then a lot of Kayanamita used to tell me when they go to this Amesana where the Samantarabhara Bodhisattva way place is. In Mahayana, they call her Pusyan Pusa, universal virtue Bodhisattva. So the tears just come, a lot of them. Then they just have that type of very strong bond then they understand. Then some, when they are there, when they look at the statue, a lot of things happen, manifest. But tears is very common. Then like Kotlin's case is that type of joy, that type of like, you call it goose pimple, but not goose pimple. There's a reaction that happens. Then there are some, they look at, it's like talking to him, no? He said, you are back. Means you are back. Means you come back to the Buddha Sasana. Or you come back to the cultivation. And you are back to the way place that I meet again. Then some, they have this feeling that they are very close to their great being. So sometimes we travel to China, spiritual trip is very common. And that thing is very strong. So very good. Sadhu. Some more?
So the feeling was very good feeling. Was give me a sense of confidence and
yeah, it will deepen your faith. Very good, Sadhu.
Then the next morning I went for the chanting.
Ah yeah, that one very interesting. So almost every morning I saw Kotlin there.
I didn't know why I can wake up so early.
And normally you sleep very late.
Yeah, I just woke up and I went. Yeah. So I was the first one there.
Oh, sadhu.
Waiting. So they were chanting, they were going very fast.
Yeah.
So as we were starting to walk around.
Yeah, correct.
And we start to chant Amitabha.
Yeah.
And as I was walking towards the Bodhisattva virtue, well, my tears were flowing out nonstop.
Oh, sadhu.
So I didn't know why that happened. So
The tear of joy, tear of compassion, then tear of like meeting up again. No wonder you can come to my class. It's meant for you to come here because you have past affinity with them. Otherwise, this type of kanying won't happen. Very good.
So that was my experience.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Very good. Now, Tammy. Next one, Tammy. Tammy is already here a few times, many times. Very good. So, Tammy, your turn. You have to introduce. Not everybody know you. The new people don't know you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tammy. I'm from Klang. I think this is the fourth time.
Fourth time you are here. Yeah. And she has been helping me last year and this year to read the thing so that my throat, I can save my throat to finish all the sharing. Sadhu. Thank you. Thank you.
I think maybe I can share about while reading out the
notes. That one is very good.
I feel that there's two different things. Last year I was sitting in front.
Correct.
And this year I was sitting here. And then last time I feel some pressure because
First time doing it in front of everyone.
Then while I was sitting here, the feeling was more like, can say secure.
More confident.
So, and it is it's also a very, you can say as a mindfulness practice. Because when you read it out, and you also need to observe your donation, your voice. So that it's not so fast or too slow. And I hope that it doesn't cause anyone else.
Very good.
And then while reading that, you're also observing yourself.
Own silent mind inside, your awareness. Because now she has this understanding, she is not only concerned about herself, she's sensitive. She's scared you all fall asleep. She's scared the pace she read, you all may not follow. So she tried to have that understanding. That's why this is love. This is compassion. This is not about the self. Then she reads, she tries to make sure it's clear, there's clarity. Then sometimes, one or two times I corrected her, she said, thank you. You will have that automatic response. That's why your nature becomes different. Then you consider a lot of other things. Last time, is most of the thing is about you most important. Understand? Good. Continue. Yeah.
So it's a very good way to maintain mindful.
Mindfulness, yes.
This year is also the second year I took the Bodhisattva vow.
Oh, sadhu.
Last year was the first. Last year was, I don't feel it's more on understanding. It's
correct.
Like, just do it last year.
Yeah. But this year different, huh? Oh, this year very different.
This year, after Envy, she chant the invocation.
Oh, that one very good. Oh. Today one very good. Oh. Wow, today one, I tell you, up there, all rejoicing.
It's just...
It's from her heart, very strong and very clear.
I think something happens.
Yeah, happened inside. Sadhu.
The tears was falling.
Sadhu.
And then when Brother Teo was reading the
Bodhisattva.
The sharing.
Oh, that one really move you all. Those who have the faith, it will be really move.
And the Buddha passing away. And then a lot lah, and other things. But then it's really touching. And then it strengthened the faith.
Yeah. Definitely, you will strengthen your faith. That it gives you the understanding, you know, that going this way is so beautiful. You know. Why can't I understand this and move? Yeah. So a lot of cultivators, very funny, if it's something new to them, it's just like a new culture in your office. You refuse to follow it. You are more complacent with the old way. They call it your comfort zone. When you are out of your comfort zone, you don't feel secure. That's all. So there is a lot of resistance. But what I don't understand is, why can't they have an open mind and receive all this and check, like the Buddha said, does it harm me? Does it harm others? Or does it benefit me and benefit others? And does it pave the way to enhance my cultivation, my understanding? If all this is there and it's so beautiful, it's teaching you to do all the important things that you don't know how to do last time. Invoke affinity with all the great beings. You don't know how to do last time. Then, invoke that power of what they call merits for you to overcome your karmic obstacle and all those things. These are very important cultivation. Then how to take the vow. Understand the significance of the vow, the importance of the vow. And when you take this way as a bodhisattva, your mind transforms and becomes so beautiful. And you will have all those virtue, wisdom and quality. Then why are you waiting? Why do you doubt? So a lot of people fail to understand because they are always conditioned by the comfort zone that they are in. When you are told about something which is new that you don't understand, you dare to resist. You tend to resist. So that is the reason why I realize a lot of them cannot develop the faith because they're not sure. But as the year go by, you become different. You become different. Then when you have no more doubt, that is the time you will progress very fast. When your faith is so strong until it's unshakable, you have reflected on it, contemplated on it, and you have understood the beauty of this way, I tell you, you become very different. That faith will drive you and you transform very fast. The faith not only in the Buddha, the teaching, but in your own self-nature. You are a potential samasambuddha, that nature is in you. You only need to allow it to flower and manifest. Why can't you realize that? You have that beautiful nature. You are not the form and mind. You are not the thought that tell you all those nonsense and ridiculous things. So when you have this understanding, you become very different. I remember during the early day when I cultivate, the moment I met out with some of my teachers who are very good, there was so much confidence, faith and joy that it go all out. And because of the faith, the understanding keep on coming in. Because these are spiritual faculty. Of course, it has a lot to do with past cultivation. But the immediate one is the faith that drive the virya. Then after that, when my sati come, then it connect to my nature. Then I inherit, then I understand. Then I saw the causes and conditions for all this unfolding. That's why whatever my nature can share, if there is condition, it will share. Then from here, you learn. You become different. Well, a lot of these things are not taught, not written in any book and other things. Reason is, very few people can have that type of cultivation to go through all this experience and understanding to share with you. Very rare. So when you encounter one of these, just like Papa Suri used to tell me, you in the early years, you're looking for a teacher, can't find. Then when she finally met up with me, her nature inside, very happy, a lot of joy. Then she like wanted this very badly and she strived very hard. But the only thing is, at that time she too eager to progress. So that was the one that temporarily actually bring forth some obstacle to slow down the cultivation and the progress. Then I keep on reminding her, don't ever arise that thought. Just do sincerely and don't try to know. The thing will unfold. Now she is doing it very well. We can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Tammy, continue.
Yeah, I agree what Brother Teo just said. I also believe, I feel that I have a lot of doubt also. And then so it's like today I was having this a lot of like monkey mind or something. Then I was asking the great beings not like take it away.
I know.
Let me understand what it is.
Oh, very good. That's why I must talk to them, communicate with them. Hey, their nature can hear you, you know. You think Joe, you think statue. Huh? You can ask Ing Video last time. There was alien. Came back and tell them, hey, our friend waiting for you. You better go and see him or go and talk to them. And a lot of people have this kan ying. Then they receive message. Mimi also said, receive a lot of message. Sometimes they talk to you and you will know. Then like Kong-Hun's case, you will have that feeling, that respond and all those things. So what was the takeaway that he gave to you?
Like what you always say, like everything is, like it comes naturally.
Sadhu. Then I remember last time, got one Kayamita. He was quite new, I remember 1 year. He heard everybody got this type of experience. So he also wanted to find out. So he went and stand in front of Maitreya Buddha. Then he paid his respect. Then he talked to Maitreya Buddha. He said he has been searching all this while for a real teacher who can help him. And honestly, you know what the answer was? The one inside there teaching you on. You somehow search where? Oh, he received that one. Then he came in and shared. That's why a lot of people, a lot of these things do happen. Sadhu. Your advice is very good. Everything come naturally. No need to rush. Trust your nature. Take care of karma. Everything will unfold according to what you have cultivated, developed. If you have not done it, it will not unfold. So the advice is very good. To ask you to trust your cultivation, trust your nature, trust your virtue, your understanding. Then it will unfold naturally. So no need to crave for enlightenment. Why am I so slow? How come a lot of people show sign of progress? I still so child one. Like what happened to Song. Then I told him, no, your time will come because the condition not there. Then after that, not long, he went to Rayong, the thing connect. Then after that, he understand all my sharing, all my teaching, all my transcript. Okay? Some more?
Last but not least, of course, thank you, Brother Teo, and all the organizing committee and the temple
committee.
Sadhu.
Ah, Yun Chan, come here. Then.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the organizers who organized the retreat. It was very comfortable. and of course, all of us like to thank Brother Teo for your teaching. I didn't have anything very much spiritual, mystical.
Tell us what you experienced, how you feel.
The only funny thing was, you have been always chanting this Rupam Anichang.
Rupang Anichang.
Yesterday was reading that Rupang. Just now when you did it, it moved me. I don't know.
Why. Your inside understand already. That's why. Do you know in the early day when I cultivate, I contemplate and reflect until I understand clearly what the meaning is. Form is impermanent. Form is anatta. Because I'm a civil engineer, everything I come to perceive, I know how it arises. Especially building, highway, all these engineering things. Because the causes and conditions behind. The design, the project management, the contractor, then the supplier, the handing over, involve a lot. Then that building complete, hand over, then people use it. So when I look at a tree, I also understand why Rupang Anichang. You read my five aggregate of form and mind, you will know. Like this table, why Anichang, why Anatta? Because they are conditioned arising entity. Before it arrives, like my daughter told me at the breakfast table, it's not like the cup. You think it's permanent? It's impermanent. Why? Because dependent on condition it arises. And what are the conditions behind? The raw material. Then there are people who mold and manufacture that cup. Then after they mold it, the handle, they glue it, then they glaze it. After they glaze it, they have to oven bake to the temperature so that it become a cup. Then put it out for sale. Somebody bought. Offer it to the temple, or the temple board, then it arrives already, like real, in front of you, exists. But any of the condition before that, not there, this cup will not be here. Understand? Then this cup is not forever, because it's very fragile. You drop it, it will crack. Or sometimes somebody do something to it, they have to destroy it, or stolen. And all those things. Then it's gone, no more. That's why externally already dependent originating, condition arising. Dependent on condition it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So impermanent, not real. Then by itself also it decay, understand? It will become wear and tear, old and all those things. Then you realize not only the cup, everything is like that. That's why it's anichang. Dependent on condition, it arrives. So, whatever that is condition arising, dependent on it, cannot be a permanent, unchanging entity. Because the condition, the support is existent, is forever moving, changing, ever changing, in a state of flux. So, when I understood that, there was so much joy. then thing which is impermanent is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta. Like a table, how can you say it's non-self? It's not a permanent unchanging entity. Then the second aspect is, how do I know it's a table? I have to perceive it through my memory, right? Through my seeing consciousness. And this is just an image. It's even more unreal. Then why do we so deludedly cling and hold on to it? What the Buddha gave to the monk was very good. The block cut analogy. He asked the monk, what do you see? Everybody say Bulokat. Okay, take the wheel, take the axle, take everything apart. Then, without the part coming together, it cannot perform the function. Then they say the Bulokat is gone. No more. Then the Buddha say, okay, fix it back. Hey, arise again. That is the meaning of dependent originating condition. When the condition is there, when all the parts come together and it perform a function, you give it a name, blocker, exists already. When you take away the part, gone, no more. So is it real? Is it permanent? It's not. So externally already condition arising, then how do you know it's a blocker? You perceive it through your mental image, the brain up here inverted. This is just an image. How real can it be? Externally already not so real. Dependent originating, condition arising. The way you perceive it is through an image is even more unreal. Why can't you see? Then why do you still deluded by it, deceived by it, can still cling onto it, grasp onto it and hold onto it? So when you understand all this, the understanding really breaks free from form. That's why Rupang Anichang, Rupang Anatta, to me is very clear. When I was in Thailand, at my teacher's way place, Ajayantra, early morning, 3:30 they start chanting. And I heard this from the place I was, the Kuti. He put me and another friend of mine in the top disciples Kuti, below him, we stay there. And the end story, oh, I already told, no need to tell again. Then when I heard this chanting, I told my friend, come, you go down. Huh? He said, 3:45, you want to go down? Yeah lah, you come here for what? I said, that's why the faith was very strong. I went down and I listened to the whole chanting. But the one that hit me was this Rupang Anichang, Rupang Anatta. Very clear. To me, it's like the whole Dharma unfold in my heart. So when you feel it, you just mean it's starting to unfold. Understand? But you have to contemplate and reflect. How can you understand what is Rupang Anichang? But the moment you understand, I still remember when I was cultivating you earlier, everything is like that. Like think also like that, don't think also like that. Everything is Rupang, all the form, external form that I see, is anichang. Straight away the understanding is that, whether it's a plant or a physical thing, or even our planet or whatever. I know science. I'm an engineer. Then I understand how things come about. Then I saw the two types of unreality of form. Form is impermanent. The first aspect is, as a physical thing, there are conditions behind its arising. Then how do I know that form? Through my mental perception. That's why, how can an image be real? How can an image be permanent? It come and it go, finish. No reality. That's why this morning Mrs. Ho and Yun Chan was in here looking at that thing. Think also like that, don't think. So Yun Chan tried to explain to Mrs. Ho. He just, very good. Because the first part is correct. Yun Chan said, people are just the way they are. So don't have to be affected by them. But the deeper one is, because everything is not what you think. Sankara is like the analogy of a banana tree trunk stem where you peel layer after layer in the core of existence. There is nothing, empty. So it's like thinking. Every layer is like sankara, thinking, thinking, thinking. Whatever you think, end of the day, empty. No reality. Then why do you think? avijja paccaya sankara. That's all. So a lot of people don't, they thought by thinking they can solve their problem. That is knowledge, thought based. The real problem cannot be rooted out without wisdom. You have to have wisdom. So all this understanding need to unfold. Yunchan, sadhu to you for that sharing. Anything else?
And, yeah. Have to thank your daughter. She's very good. Because you were explaining, I only got grasped only the beginning part of it. Then she kept saying about the conditioning, that we keep getting conditioned so that, well, we what was that about? we were conditioned to say, okay, I have this fear, I have this anxiety, and then you go deeper into it. It happened in the past. You've been conditioned. Yeah. That's why you're anxious. Yeah,
Memory and habitual tendency. From memory, conditioned into habitual tendency. Then it becomes your habit. You constantly react. You are caught by the thought, caught by the memory, caught by the mundane mind. Means you are not the boss. Your nature is not there to tell the thought, now I decide, not you. All the while, the thought decides.
Yeah, but I didn't. You have been saying that for so many years.
Yeah, but it never went in until this year. That's why when you read, when you listen, when you are attentive, that thing go in. But when you listen or read thinking that you know, never go in. You cannot assume you already know. Because this sharing is from that level all the way down to whoever ordinary also can receive and understand. But as long as you have not reached that level of training, cultivation, you can only understand up to the level that you are at. You cannot go beyond that. That's why you have to every time listen attentively, read slowly, carefully to understand. Then you will have the condition to understand the higher wisdom, the deeper wisdom. Then as you break free and progress, then it will reach another level to see a deeper truth. The same teaching, the same words, but cater for all cultivation. Even enlightened beings, they listen, they will rejoice. But they straight away know, these are words of wisdom, very beautiful. Yeah, that is how you progress, sadhu.
That's about it. And we'd like to ask for forgiveness if we have offended you in any way.
That one before you go down for breakfast.
Lunch.
Oh, lunch, yeah. Thanks for the correction. Sadhu. Well, we still got 1 hour, luckily. Okay, tell me you want to read. before you leave. We are at page 80, I think. Part 3.
Page 80. Part 3, Meditation 3.1. Question 1. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation. Brother Chia replied, as you meditate, the yin and yang energies can build up to cause heat and cold to arise within your body. Here at Wu Bing Jingshe, there is no air conditioning, so we tend to feel warm and sometimes we sweat too. Is the warmness uncomfortable? No, it is quite soothing. Then, it is okay, and you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is not affected by the heat, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise, your mind will be afflicted affected.
Yeah, affected and cause you to react. Huh?
And cause, thank you. And cause you to react. For some who do samatha or one-pointedness concentration and exhaustion type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem because of their yin and yang imbalance. This is especially so for those who like to play with energy fields to develop psychic powers. The maras too can come and dilute them and disturb them, but if they know how to release the energy built up and come out to normal state of awareness, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then they are all right, and they can also develop the enlightenment. 3.2. Brother Dio said, how about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop it? The yogi replied, for a while only, because I get easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations in daily life. Then the calmness and the daily mindfulness are all gone. Brother Chio replied, habitual tendency born of the wrong view to perceive certain situations with negativity is the cause. You lack right view and you should reflect, contemplate and inquire deep into the Dharma. We are the second turning of the first noble truth to develop the Chitta Maya Panya to overcome this problem of yours. You should inquire why you are agitated or affected. How do this habitual tendency that caused you to react to such situation come about? You will finally come to understand that it is because you have certain expectations and preferences born of your wrong view that condition you to think that way for so long already. You are actually grasping and clinging on to your wrong thoughts born of your conditioned memories. Seeing this clearly with your pure awareness will enable you to straighten your view via silencing your mind to develop the wisdom and right understanding needed to free your mind. You can also inquire to free via applying the work as taught by Bayan Katie to free. The work is a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thoughts that cause all the suffering in this world. It's a practical way to understand what's hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering or problem with clarity. Her work consists of four lines of questioning or inquiries to develop the wisdom to free, and they are 1. Question the wrong thought that conditioned you to react habitually. Is it true? 2. Then inquire again by asking, can you absolutely know that it's true? 3. How do you react and what happens when you believe that thought? You are afflicted, isn't it? Hence, it is wrong thought and you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery. 4. Who would you be without this wrong thought? Peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issue amicably, without having to resort to any negativity of action, speech and thoughts, thereby leading to the end of all suffering. Then you will perceive life differently and will know how truly live life to experience all of its beauty.
How to truly live life to experience all of its beauties
and wonders. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful, and it can experience all of nature's pristine purity and beauty. When I was in New Zealand, I can feel that the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food I eat makes my body feel so good.
You know why or not? Because in New Zealand, the number of sheep are so much more than the human being there. I think their population less than 4 million, if I'm not wrong, when I was there. But the sheep is 60 million. No? So the sheep are not like human beings, cunning, full of evil, selfishness, emotion, everything. That's why their consciousness are very simple. They are very, very simple animal. They don't have much complex or complicated sankara. That's why I can feel when I was there. The consciousness was so different. Even the food I eat, my body can sense it, you know. So good, you know. Not to say it tastes good, no. No. After I eat the New Zealand food, normally we all take Malaysian food, you know, a lot of asam, a lot of curry, a lot of this pada-pada thing. There are a lot of spices and all that. When I went there, after I eat, I don't have problem with my bowel, you know, and don't have that type of smell when you take all the spices and all that. Everything feels so good. The body feels so good, you know. The water I drink, everything, because the consciousness there. That's why it's very different. Actually, for us who live under this type of environment, you can live to 80 plus, you consider very lucky, like Mahathir, very lucky. You know, our environment, actually, our food, all that, cannot compare to theirs. Theirs is a lot more clean. Yeah. And the consciousness is so much better. Mm. Then sometimes I go over to Singapore, I can feel, the moment I enter Singapore, not so aggressive on the consciousness. I was on their MRT, you know. When I return to Malaysia, I can feel, all this type of, the collective country consciousness is very, very different. That's why you can sense it. When you have that mindfulness, wherever you go, you can feel all this. You're sensitive. And you can really see the difference and you experience all of this. But if you are not mindful, not sensitive, you think a lot, you never have the opportunity to understand all of this. Maybe you enjoy the scenery, excited, everything, come back. Yeah, I went to New Zealand. Yeah, very nice. So you only talk about the scenery, everything. But all the other things, you are not sensitive, you cannot feel. Okay, good. Continue.
3.3 question 2. How do you perceive opening chakras via Qi Gong practices? Brother Teo replied, when you use your thought to open your chakras, you have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still has delusion, so it can bring about yin and yang imbalance. It can also mean tempering because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind, the thought energy will build up there. It's advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training and exercise within the Qigong practices, not to focus and store your thought energy at the Dan Tian unless the intention is to develop the Qi for health purposes. Do not use it to develop the psychic or energy field. There is a safer and more genuine way to open the chakras via developing the wisdom first. Then, when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfections to walk the Bodhisattva way. To realize Buddhahood, develop the loving kindness, compassion, and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to our nature. This gateway will melt all our life force and mental or pure awareness energies into our nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no more of the yin and yang type. This is the pure energy that can really open up the chakras internally via trust. That is without the interference of any thoughts.
Yeah, this part I already explained before. I think it was down there at the dinner table last evening, I think. Somebody asked me some question, then I have the condition and I explain. You see, when you develop the four support, the first one is relax, then aware, then maintain for as long as you can, preferably 24 hours. But the last one is trust. Trust means trust your nature to do. No thought is involved. If your thought is involved, it cannot happen. So the gateway can only be detected when your mundane mind completely no more. Then you are just with the pure awareness, the true mind. That one can detect the gateway. Then you know how to relax and silent. Then all your energy, they will finally melt inside there. Because before you are enlightened, whatever energy you have is all with the mixture of yin and yang. But the beauty of this gateway is whatever yin and yang energy you have, you allow it to flow in, or we call it melt inside, it becomes pure energy. Because this one is like a very beautiful filter. Because when it goes through the gateway is only pure awareness, without defilement, without negativity. So whatever energy goes in, transform into pure energy. Then this pure energy is intelligent. It knows where your body needs to be activated. That's why that is the real movement inside. And they call it opening chakras and nadis. Chakras are your major nerve center. Nadi are all your smaller nerve center. But these are all within your body that can be activated and transformed into beautiful vibration. We have this parasympathetic nerve, our natural vibration of our nervous system. So this one, when the pure energy go in, it activate, it transform this one. Then your vibration become very fine, very fine. That's how you transform your consciousness within. And this one is the safest way and the best way. Otherwise, what they do is they can't detect the gateway. And what those people do, even the Hindu, through Kundalini, or through whatever type of concentration, one-pointedness, 40 object of meditation, then even the Qigong people, everything. Qigong people not so bad. They do their Qi movement, then they create that Qi, then they store their Qi. But whatever they do, because at least they do Qigong, is a form of like mindfulness training, like Tai Chi or something. Then when you store your Qi, at least that one, although not an enlightened being's energy, but at least it has some form of mindfulness, all those things. So you know how to make use of it to release the Tan Tian energy with the earthly energy for you to have better health, all those things, up to you. But this type of energy, you should use it to transform your consciousness, to progress. But they can't detect the gateway, so they got no choice. That's why they use it for health reason and for other type of reason to benefit them. Then the Kundalini one is more severe, the Hindu one, where they do the third eye. They go to the third eye, they go to the Sasahara, the head chakra, everything. Then some, they go down. There are seven major chakras. So they go and use the thought, to go and focus and concentrate. So to them, they think they are opening up their chakra. It's actually not opening. You are tempering your thought. Of course, it will release that type of energy. But because you don't have the wisdom, your yin and yang is not balanced. So if you touch the wrong chakra, or when you touch the chakra without the wisdom, you cannot deal with the energy that come out. That's why they have to use it for psychic or whatever. Then some cultivator, they use it to radiate love and metta. Otherwise, they have problem with the energy. So there was one group, I think a few years my senior, they get into big trouble because they came to know one Swami. You know what is a Swami? A guru in India. And this guru happened to drop by here for 2 weeks. Then he conduct a retreat. These people went. They find it so interesting. A lot of energy. They feel very calm. Then like a lot of psychic phenomena. Then the problem start when the Swami went home. The Swami not around. Then 40 of them, almost everyone got problem. The person who lead, he happened to be a mechanical engineer, also from MU. I think 5-6 years my senior. He himself get into big trouble, karmic thing and all those things. A lot of things happen. Then all their other friends who go, all kena, because it's the friction of the backfiring of that calm, energy field meditation, where they don't have the virtue, understand? And their negative karmic thing start to surface, where it creates conditions. And the non-human, the mara, attack them, and they get into big problem. So he wanted to help them back. He tried to contact the Swami, he cannot contact. Then after that, he end up having psychiatric problem. You know who he went and see? He went and see my classmate, also Dr. Teo. I told you, almost same name as me. So my classmate have a clinic last time in Paramount Garden there, Section 21. Last time is Teo Clinic. Now it's Teo and Chia, I think. Where he sold his clinic to that Chia, Dr. Chia. So he went and see him. Then my doctor, my classmate is not stupid. He tell him all those stories. But he check, he's normal. He happy, everything. He's a healthy guy. And you know what he tell him? He came so many times. Then he said, I think I know what your problem is. You go and see my friend. He didn't even tell me. He give him my phone number. Then all of a sudden, this guy called me at my house. Then I asked him, who are you? How did you get my number? Then he told me, he said, that doctor of mine say you can help me. Then I said, which doctor? Then he said, Dr. Teo Clinic. Then I know already. Okay. He refer you. What is it that you want? He said, I got all this problem. And you know what I told him or not? This type of meditation I don't teach. I don't teach this type of meditation. If you want to see me, I can teach you the other type of meditation to help you overcome all this. He got interested. And he talked to me 2 hours on the phone. That's why after that he came and see me. Then he also finally, I think, go and believe the KYCO. You heard of KYCO or not? Kuan Yin Contemplative Order. There is a Tony something who started it. Last time, I think he was a Christian. Then because of the brother's, don't know brother or mother's cancer or what, then he make a affirmation. If whoever can help my, don't know, brother or mother, he will believe that religion. Then it so happened Kuan Yin came and the recovery happened. That's why he started KYCO. Then I think he went there and he supported the place. Then every year they give him this book because he donate KYCO, the annual, I don't know, they call it the annual book. And he, after he get to know me, he every time come and see me off and on, then he will offer me this book. He got nothing else to offer me. Sometimes he buy some fruits or what. Then I talk to him. Then he wants to get to know my teacher, Acharya Yantra. Then I teach you how to develop metta, mindfulness style of cultivation. Then finally, I teach you how to ask for forgiveness. Then how to invoke the power of merits to, for recovery. Even her young daughter also affected, a lot of things. Then the business start to turn around, no more problem. Where the business get into big problem. Then the daughter also recover. Then he himself also recover from the bad luck, the so-called bad luck. Well, then he got faith. That's why he want to see my teacher. I took him to Singapore to meet him. Then later invite him over here. That was the whole history. Then after that, he followed me for a very long time. Then all my guide and teacher also, he get to know them. So this is how you play with energy field without a good teacher and you don't know what you are going into, you can be there for severe problem. And finally, when he met my last teacher, luckily my last teacher was compassionate enough. He activated their gateway and drained off all their that type of negative karmic thing. But when my last teacher did that for them, you know what he told me or not? He said he was sick for a few weeks. Because even when he activated, he can feel that type of karmic negative energy. He has to flush it out through his system. That's why you cannot interfere. And for me, I don't want to do all this. Why? Because this is interference with nature's law, interference with karma. And after that, I think he also realized. And he told me from now onward, he don't want to do all this anymore. Because he said, I'm not a healer. You understand? I come to this world not to be a healer. I don't want to heal people who like to play with this type of thing. That's why I told him, yeah, I said, I also will do this type of thing. So that was the thing that I went through. That's why I can share with people the understanding and all those things. Okay, next page, chapter 23.
23rd Heart Sutta class 1.1. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceivable characteristics. Hence, it is quite easy to see and understand. But when it comes to mental aggregates like feeling, perception, activities of mind, thinking, mental states, mental formations and intentions, etc., and consciousness, they are formless, hence they are much subtler and more difficult to see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation as taught by the Buddha and its true purpose and intent. Hence, their main activities are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind via concentration and focusing of the mind using thought. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative states, which they will cling on to as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that frees and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good conditioned states, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung onto. Instead, they should make use of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment via sati to see things as they are, without any concepts, words, ideas or thoughts. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are to understand what is going on in life within the moment. Use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are natural conditions arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases, also see how upon contact, consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitants comes to be, and how through ignorance, contact conditions, craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering when wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention, is not there at the moment of sense experience. Then, one will come to understand clearly how thought arises due to response to memories, and how one grasps and clings to all these memories via our mental perceptions and thinking that condition our emotional negativities and fear, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, to think, to feel, grasp and cling. All these are due to one's wrong view or sakaya ditti, self-delusion, because one still cannot see their conditioned arising nature to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha and anatta. The human being, first aspect of our five aggregates of form and mind, is only a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned out by our karmic nature, for us to use and live this segment of our life, and it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it's not you. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. We have taken birth and died for so many countless lives. So, which of all these countless numbers of segmented life is you? None. So, do awaken to this truth with right view and wisdom. Then, we will understand the secret of life, and we will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. 1.2 Question 1. This wisdom or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? Balachio replied, it can happen anytime, as long as one is heedful, which means constantly meditative and ever mindful, and be the steadfast one, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because the craving, desire and expectation are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment, which is beyond thought. To see things as they are, silence the mind completely, and be patient to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha, via sati or the silent mind, then only one can awaken. When you are out of the formal meditation, but you are still heedful, most of the time then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful, anytime you can realize it via the first, second or third turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead spiritually. Hence, no way to awaken as confirmed by the Buddha via the Dhammapada verse 21. Question 2. When we say we must be constantly aware, what is it that we must be aware of? Brother Chio replied, awareness is before the knowing, so there is nothing for you to be aware of technically. It's just awareness before the labeling or perception and words. That is mind in silent awareness, to see things as they are before the arising of the aggregates of mind, to interpret and give meaning to them. Just the mind and phenomenon in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead Just silence your mind and allow the phenomena to tell you their characteristics. They are the silent awareness to awaken to all the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason for the Buddha's instruction on cultivating anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, are breathing in aware and breathing out aware. That is just an awareness of the in and out breath. The breath and mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony, without thought and at ease. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see because it is just the pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally upon contact of mind with the eye as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light bulb, battery and the switch. So similarly, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything because it is just awareness. That is the silent mind and phenomenon as one, without thought to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality, seeing things as they are with yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is the key to enlightenment because only through wisdom or understanding can the mind be free. The nature's law that governs all life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complex, so without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom, and because of our rather conditioned view and opinion, we tend to develop a lot of negative thoughts via habitual tendencies. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition our fear, worries, anxieties, suffering and miseries, etc. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. We must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice, not only as advice given to us, but also to our thoughts. Hence, whatever advice given to us in order to know whatever we should follow it. In order to know whether we should follow it or not, the Buddha said to the Kalamas at that time that they should reflect and contemplate as follows to find out, if I follow their advice, will it cause suffering and misery to others and to me? If not, then we can try it out. Otherwise, abandon it. So, if it is applied to our own thoughts, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thoughts and develop only the right and wholesome thoughts via the four right efforts as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this, that is, we can see the limitation of thoughts and how thoughts divide through words like race, religion, gender, nationality, views, relationship, etc. to bring about all the conflict, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy, and envy, leading to all the enmities and wars. With wisdom, we will see clearly that it is only thoughts and form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind and not you. Like the analogy as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates. Feeling is like a bubble. Because feeling or sensation always arise and pass away from moment to moment. Perception is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankhara is like a banana tree stem because layer, after you peel, at the center or core, it is empty, which is similar to your thoughts or thinking. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly they are dead and gone, hence empty, only thoughts. then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist creating all the illusion to delude you. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha said Sabbe Sankhara Anicca and Sabbe Sankhara Dukkha and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. To understand its deep meaning, Sankhara is only mental activities or thought. So how come they have the power to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It's because of your ignorance and delusion. You give it power to torment you without you knowing. With wisdom, we can see all this clearly and we will come to understand that things are just as they are and everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only. Hence not so real and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning. We are delusion. Otherwise, they can torment you. The essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha are 1. The Appamattavagga Dhammapada verse on heedfulness, D 21, 22 and 23. The second, the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Hindrances of Mind, the Five Spiritual Faculties. 3. The Three Evil Roots of Greed, Hatred and Delusion, the Five Daily Contemplations. 4. Right View with regards to the Law of Karma, Four Noble Truths and the 12 Things. And they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dharma. The reason being, when I first came out to share the Buddha Dharma during the year 2004, I thought what living beings need was the Dharma. But after I had started, I came to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dharma, because at that time, their basic essential understanding of the Dharma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it and inquired on how can living beings develop the understanding of the true Dharma, then this understanding comes to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dharma first before teaching the true Dharma to new people. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so clouded by thoughts, the vibration and activities of mind that thoughts create. This is the reason why most of you can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night, when everything is very quiet by the essence of mind. Consciousness creates the world and the continent and the universe. The knower becomes the living being. Via ignorance and delusion, the knower grabs onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are, hence becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dharma books talks about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower and or any atta at all. There is only awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. Everything is conditioned arising, and they always arise and passing away following nature's conditions. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That is why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Thoughts are just thoughts. They are neither good nor bad, because it depends on the user of thoughts, and if the user of thoughts has wisdom, then thoughts become right thoughts, and they are so beautiful. Use thoughts appropriately, we are arising only right and wholesome thoughts. Right thoughts bring about harmony and wholesomeness, whereas wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worries, anxiety, suffer and misery, etc. When we are born with these five aggregates of form and mind via our karma, we must understand that it is just like a vehicle and tool for us to use and live life. The body is like our physical tool or vehicle that can take us around, and the mind is our mental tool for us to use to live and experience life in the here and the now. Together, we call it a human being, which we think is a permanent, unchanging entity that we can grasp onto as the me and the I. Hence the delusion. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true nature or true mind and awaken to the truth, to see the unreality of form and mind, then we can understand clearly what this form and mind is. Then there is no more Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion. With this wisdom connected to this form and mind, the form and mind is then no longer deluded. Hence, it will not grasp anymore, thereby freeing the mind from all suffering. It will have the enlightenment factor of equanimity within, hence no more stirring of mind to be afflicted again. It will be at peace with all things. It will know how to live life and no more delusion to worry about life anymore. Because you have clearly understood that these five aggregates of form and mind of this segmented life of yours as a human being is not you. This is the ultimate understanding. Important notes. 1. The four important support needed to develop the proper awareness-based meditation are: relax, aware, 24 hours awareness, and trust. 2. When the heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and reverential salutation to develop the Saddha, Viriya and Sati, spiritual faculties, to open up our heart area, to make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energies needed to connect to our nature within is very important.
Okay, that part, I think not everybody understand. You see, the heart area, when I say cannot open out, I put it in inverted comma. So open out, not open heart surgery. Open up means activate that heart area so that it's sensitive, so that it can feel energy. It can receive whatever, like the cultivator's energy. I realize if this one is not open up, cannot. Because during the early day, I remember there was somebody in Brickfield. I think he is doing concentration, energy field. So what happened was, his heart area, I think he must have done something to the thought, to the heart chakra, and he must have used the thought directly. Then what happened was, he told a few of us at the back who were listening, because that time was my teacher, Acharyantra. He was there for the first time, he was delivering the talk. You know what happened? After the talk, he came out and he told us, do you know how powerful and how strong his energy was? Because he can feel it. But then later on, I came to realize his one is thought energy. His one, he interfere and develop it through energy field, means he focus, concentrate. Then he, like we call tempering, from external, he activated it. That's why he also had problem. He got energy problem and all that. But he can feel, you know. His temper, it then is like activated. Then it release a lot of energy. Then before you have the wisdom, you cannot handle this. So he must have used it for psychic or what, I'm not very sure. But he can feel. Then I realized I also can feel. But what I did was different. I never focus. I never concentrate. I develop it through mindfulness and faith. Then also, earlier on, I did anapanasati. So I realized every day when I pay respect, you know, that time my faith was very strong. When I pay respect, I fold my arm. And I realized there is a type of energy from that faith, the sadha, the pure energy, go into my heart area. It just go into my... Then I realize every time I pay respect, because I did it so often, it start to activate here, the center. Nobody taught me. Start to activate here. Then I realize after that, it becomes sensitive. Then when this guy talk about it, then I realize I also can feel. But I activated it differently, because through faith, through mindfulness, I didn't focus. Then I developed daily mindfulness. Then my daily mindfulness, initially when I do until, I have to stop the daily mindfulness. It becomes too strong. Because I return all my awareness back to my heart at the center. And this one becomes very sensitive, very different. That's why later on I came to understand, when you take care of mind take care of you. You know the meaning, huh? I better write it down. When you take care of mind, mind takes care of you. That's why when you have faith, it is very different. That faith energy just going pure, very pure. Then what happened is, when I keep on returning to here and maintain awareness from here, I realize there is energy building up. But no outlet. But something very funny happened though. After that, my heart area, the awareness is automatic. It makes me aware, every moment, every instant, from inside, aware, just like that. That time I haven't met my last teacher. Then I continue to develop my daily mindfulness, then I slow down. Then because this one make me aware, so I cannot be without awareness, But that time actually is the initial. That's why I told you all, if I have not met my last teacher who showed me the actual gateway, it will take me at least 10 to 15 years later to detect it. Well, I must relax and silence everything, only it can go in. Well, even if I try to maintain the awareness, it will not go in. And do you know what happened after that? Because of what happened, later on, I met my last teacher. He is a very strange guy. I heard from my Singapore friend, that one that came, met my second last teacher. When my second last teacher was trying to show him and explain to him the three universal characteristics, he was listening, he cannot understand. But the moment she moved her hand like that, I awakened to the three characteristics. And he was the one that actually introduced me to the last teacher guy. He is a head of Theosophical Society. He go after all the teachers and all over the world and all the famous ones he know. Then he told me, "Tio, this is the best." Oh, I said, okay. Then for 6-7 times, he called me to meet this guy. I just don't have any interest. You know why? Because that time I have the Dhamma already. I already connected. In the sense that I went through the cessation, I already understood what is it. For me, I don't need anybody. Then what he told me is different. What he told me is all his power, his psychic, his ability. I was not interested. So I keep on like telling him, never mind, never mind, never mind. 6 times, the condition keep on coming. Then I realized my nature, everything that happened, 2 times I already knew it's meant to be, I will go on. But this one keep on appearing 6 times. Then on the 6th time, I agree to see him. That's why the 7th time I met him. So when I met him, very strange. It was at Genting Highland. We didn't go to casino, don't worry. Because one of the Singapore Kayamita, the friend, offered the apartment unit there for him and the wife to stay. And the wife haven't visited Genting. The wife want to come over. That's why the 6th time was because the wife want to come over. The 1st time he went alone, New Zealand, I said, you go first. Then he come back, he said, very good. He passed me the tape. Then I listened all the psychic thing. So I said, never mind. Then he said, he very excited, told me all the things. Wow, he's very powerful. He came. Then 2nd time he want to go again, he asked me. I said, never mind, you go. Then he go. Then he come back. He told me, wow, you're very lucky. Why? We invited him, he agreed, he's coming over. So that was the 3rd time. Then he called me to visit him in Singapore and attend. I again tell him, see how. Then when the date come, my father came and visit me. So I told him, cannot, my father visit him 4th time. So cannot. Then after that, he called again. Extended for another 2 weeks, so you better come. Again, I didn't go. Then after that, the 6th time, I tell you, I have to go. He called me and said, hey, Rachel, you're very lucky. His wife want to go Genting, no? He's coming over to you. No? I said like that. Okay, I meet him. That's how I met him. And when I met him, the first thing he did was he held my hand. No? He was feeling my vibration. No? He can sense me. After work, I drove all the way up there with my wife at night, 8:30 when I reached there. Then after talk a while, then I took him for the dinner up there, buffet. Then we came down and continued. The first thing I met him, I think he felt me, I felt him. No? Then he held my hand. No? He said, Tio, forget about what they tell you. Hey? Because what they tell me, I'm not interested. Yeah. And you know what he told me or not? Where did you return your awareness? Well, he can feel my awareness. No? I straight away point to the center of the heart. No? He just tell me, oh no, wrong. In front of me, wrong. And I got no fear, nothing. No? Because I can feel him, I trust him. He said, slightly towards the left. Here, he point to my heart here. Oh. Then after that, he sat down, he wanted to continue. He said, do you trust me? I said, yes, 100%. Because I told him, I can feel you. I know you are different. I can see his mindfulness. He is fully aware. So because of that, he wanted to continue. I said, wait, you haven't taken dinner. I also haven't taken dinner. Why not we go for dinner? So we went for dinner. After that, come back. When we come back, again, he asked me, do you trust me? I said, sure, I already told you I trust you. Okay, sit down. So I sat down. He sat down. His hand come near my heart here, left hand side, about 2 inches away. He said, relax. I already know how to relax. I already know how to be aware. I already know how to carry this throughout the day. So to me, the 3 I have done already. So I just relax, silent. I can feel the pure energy coming in. He activated my gateway. Then after that, I was completely relaxed, and all my energy yin and yang melt inside there. After that, I don't need him. I become completely transformed after that. Then I progress very fast, my nature. That's why this heart, you have to do something to activate it. You have to activate it through mindfulness and faith. Don't go and do the one-pointedness and all those things. Energy field. Don't go and drive all those things in. You to your faith. Saddha, virya. Very strong virya. Then it will start to open up. Then it starts to become sensitive. Then I realize when it starts to become sensitive, I can feel a lot of people's energy. What type of energy also I know. Then when I go to way place, all it becomes very sensitive. That is how it happens. So have faith, bow more, pay respect more. Then mindfulness and return here. Until you take care of my mind, take care of you. It makes you aware on. Every moment it makes you aware on. Inside there they call the, when you have the heart transplant. It's not heart transplant. What they put in the heart one? What you call that? Pacemaker. That help you to like regulate your heartbeat one. So here the heart, aware. Keep on whole day like that. That's why when you do the daily mindfulness correctly, it's like, but because I cannot find the gateway, my energy build up now, my awareness and faith energy build up now. But at the same time, it activates that thing. But because I do it continuously, it's that you cannot force this type of energy into the heart and open up the thing faster. No. It has to be what they call gradually, understand? It has its timing or no. But I was too fast with my daily mindfulness. No. My daily mindfulness energy was very strong. That's why it somehow created the ability of the heart inside there, the conscience there, to keep on aware. That's why it make me aware throughout the day. Yeah. Then after that, after he activate, then only I come to realize that there is a gateway, you know. I don't need to actually waste a lot of time going through all this. You know. Because after that, the whole thing melt inside, all my energy stabilized. You know. And because it's pure energy, no more yin, no more yang. You know. I was like a perfect human being, like a car, perfectly tuned. You know. You know what is perfectly tuned? You know? Until the engine run, no sound. Like now the hybrid car, you on the engine at low before you drive, or when it's stationary, it's like no sound. Exactly. Right. Then I was like a perfect human being. That time, all whatever sickness, everything inside, of course I don't have major sickness or whatever. It healed by itself, no, because of the pure energy. I become like a perfect human being. No? That's why that time I was telling my wife, I said, this is wonderful, this is beautiful. How can meditation be like that? Yeah. Okay, so with this, I think we stop here. Then I promise Yun Chan to allow him, allow her and the other two that are going back with him. They want to come and ask for forgiveness. Come forward, three of you. You have the chanting book? Turn to page 16. You request. You only have to chant the first one. You chant the Pali, then after that, you recite the English. Or Ingbi, you want to help them? The Pali. Ingbi, help them. Ingbi chant the Pali, then you follow. You all pay respect. Pay respect first. You pay respect first. You tell me know how to chant, also chant together with Ingbi. Only the first four stanza. Okay. Sadhu. I think Kok Lun may be the only one that know how to chant. So you lead better than the three of them follow. But the English version you all read yourself. Okay, Ingbi.
कायेन वाचा चित्तेन प्रमादेन मया कथं Ajayam kamame bante puri panya tathagata.
Now the three of you recite the English.
If by this speech of thought heedlessly we have done anything wrong, forgive me, O teacher, O the enlightened one, most wise.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you all don't worry. I have a vow to forgive all beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly, who has caused any karmic negativity or whatever thing to this nature of mine. Whatever of this wrong, this nature of mine, sincerely forgive them. So you request, automatically it cancel. It will go off. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can pay your respect one more time. Okay, good. We can break for our lunch. 12:04. Just nice.